on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Portfolio Manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. I'm Luke Guerrero, and I'll be your host today on Thursday, February 6th, 2025. And because it's Thursday, it means we're almost done with the first full week of February. And for a lot of us, like myself, who are fans of football, specifically the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm very excited for this weekend. The Super Bowl isn't just about football. It's about spending time with your friends and your families, having a barbecue, relaxing, in a world that is constantly emotionally capturing. And that's because things are constantly changing. Things don't move in a straight line. That's not how the world works. Think back. A week ago, the whipsaw in the markets after the announcement of DeepSeek. And that's just one example in the past 10 days of how quickly things can change, how markets react, and how we as investors have to remain prepared, educated, and informed. And that's really our goal here. Our goal is hopefully over this hour, 5 days a week, to educate you and help empower you by giving you the tools and the knowledge to become a better investor and achieve your financial goals. And we do that by bringing some stories to the table, some actionable items, some educational items. I think we have a very important one today for anybody who's considering a financial advisor. And we'll get to that. And we'll get to the market performance today. But first, as this show is about you, let's tackle a caller question now.
Hi, love the show. Calling about Urban Outfitters, URBN. It has ran up lately. Do you think it's going to continue to grow, or do you think it's no longer a good stock to get into? Thank you. Bye.
Urban Outfitters, that's ticker URBN, Urban, is a lifestyle retail company. It's actually headquartered in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it has a pretty diverse portfolio of brands: Free People, Anthropology, Urban Outfitters brand, FP Movement, and their new segment called Newly. And I think that's an important point to make there. And so in the past 3 months, this company's up 58%, almost 59% in the past 3 months, up 4.96% year to date. It's a small cap company, about $5.2 billion market cap. It's got very little debt, only $1.1 billion of debt on its balance sheet. And its cash flow has really improved since 2023, almost quadrupled in that time. Its profitability has also been improving. They were just barely making money in 2021 during the pandemic. But coming out of the pandemic, you had a spike back to 6.8% net margin as people were starting to spend down some of their savings. And then it returned back to reality to 3.3%. But there's a steady growth there from 2023 onward. Revenue has also grown. We had a pretty solid clip, about 5.5% on an annualized basis. Again, keeping in mind that that figure back in 2020 did take a hit going into the pandemic. And so why are they doing so well? Well, they're doing very well because they announced that they had a 10% increase in total company net sales for the 2 months ending in December, meaning the 2 months of holiday season. So they had a really solid holiday season. Their brand that I mentioned at the top, Newly, has also had pretty solid growth, about 55% increase in net sales. What is Newly? Well, Newly is a segment of their business where they offer clothing rental. And so this has opened a completely new avenue for them. And because of this growth, you can see it's been a pretty solid positive effect on the company's stock price. Now, it looks like from a valuation perspective, certainly compared to the averages, it's not too expensive, right? It's trading at 1x price to sales. It's trading at 12.9x forward-looking price to earnings, still below its average. And after that breakout, it looks like it peaked out at about $60 a share after trading somewhere near 37 in November. Peaked out at about 60 in mid-January. And it's really started to consolidate in the 52 to 56 range. And so it's looking for some level of support here. So even though this company is, again, returned 58%, almost 59% over the past 3 months, from a comps analysis perspective relative to some of its competitors, it's really not that expensive. Now, that being said, there's a lot of people who contributed to this pretty high volume over the past couple months. See the spike in volume here. And so are they looking to exit the positions? Maybe. And so if you're looking to get a position here, I wouldn't be too worried about it being too expensive. I would be worried about maybe some people in the new year trying to exit their positions, which may have some downward pressure on the stock. Certainly the market agrees a little bit, given there's 8.59% short interest out there. But we're about a month away from earnings. And so is it too expensive? I don't think so. But you have to understand that there's a difference between company risks and market structure risks. And because of how it's run up, I would start to slowly allocate to this position because it looks like it's ripe for a pullback. Thanks for the call. We got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so, and here's a little bit of what we have planned. My main focus point concerns this topic. 10 questions to ask your financial advisor. When choosing an advisor for a secure financial future, there are some questions that are pretty critical to ask. So we will go over 10 of the most important ones, not the only ones, but the most important ones. We'll also touch on India, certainly as we have potentially heightened tensions in trade with China. One might think that India may be a market to invest in. We'll talk about how Narendra Modi is struggling to boost growth in the Indian economy. We'll also touch on how Europe is entering a period of stagnation with really no end in sight. And should we have time at the end of the show, we'll touch on something we tried to get to yesterday, which was the whipsaw of orders out of the U.S. Postal Service and what that means for retailers, shippers, and businesses. We also have some voicemail questions ready to play, including one on AGX, which is Argan Inc., and one on safe investment. Also, some questions that came in from the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel, and of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions now or anytime throughout the show. Now we're going to do a short break, and on the other side, we'll touch briefly on today's market activity and play more of your questions here on InvestTalk. My phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions now, so give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made better when listeners add their voices.
My name is Robert, and I'm from Florida. Great show. I learned so much from just listening to you.
Hi, this is Susan from New Jersey. I'm calling about AXOA.
How much of the information that came out today on the whole AI play with DeepSeek and all that, how much of that information can you really trust?
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
I am very much a person that does not trust Chinese data.
Net income is growing and margins are staying pretty steady.
Let's go take a live call. Paul from Palm Desert.
Let's go to George from San Mateo, who has a question about index funds.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little. Call InvestTalk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Is that a good strategy or should I be looking at other things?
888-99-CHART.
Life in general can be chaotic, right? Especially if you have an e-commerce business. And that gets us to order fulfillment. Now the good news, you can calm the chaos of order fulfillment with the shipping software solution that delivers, ShipStation. I can tell you this, it feels great to be able to save serious money on shipping expenses by taking advantage of industry-leading discounts. ShipStation is the fastest, most affordable way to ship products to your customers while your e-commerce business enjoys discounts of up to 88% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates, and up to 90% on FedEx rates. ShipStation seamlessly integrates with the services and selling channels you already use, so you can manage orders on one easy dashboard. You'll ship more orders faster and automate your workflow to reduce human error and create 15 times more labels per hour. So, deliver a better customer experience with industry-leading, scalable features that help ensure accuracy and provide automated tracking updates with your company's branding. Calm the chaos of order fulfillment with the shipping software that delivers for you. Switch to ShipStation today. Go to ShipStation.com and use code INVEST to sign up for your free trial. That's ShipStation.com, code INVEST.
You've got finance and investment questions, and Luke Guerrero is here taking your calls live. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART is the number. It's pretty easy to remember, I think. So hoping to hear from some of you today. But until you call, before you call, that is, let's dive into the market today. U.S. stocks finished mixed in relatively calm trading on this Thursday, the S&P ending near best levels after spending most of its session in a pretty narrow range. The Dow finished down 28 basis points, S&P 500 up 36 basis points, the NASDAQ up 51 basis points, and the Russell 2000 down 39 basis points. Big tech was mostly higher on NVIDIA extending its recent gains, though Tesla underperformed once again. Other outperformers included banks, exchanges, tobacco, and China tech. Underperformers included managed care, hospitals, medtech, and life insurance. The dollar index was up 10 basis points. Gold finished down 60 basis points. Oil finishing down 60 basis points as well. Fairly uneventful in terms of the macro headlines. Nothing particularly incremental or newsworthy with respect to tariffs. The market really still waiting for some clarity on a potential call between President Trump and Xi Jinping. Nothing new out of Trump's meeting with the House GOP today either. They both reiterated a push for no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security benefits, and a SALT cap adjustment. Treasury Secretary Bessent today repeatedly focused on the 10-year yield, said he won't allow Doge to change Treasury systems, and also restated support for China tariffs and permanent tax cuts. Outside of Washington, earnings a mixed bag, though there were a number of high-profile disappointments in both tech, healthcare, and the auto space. On the flow front, some news out of Wall Street, sell-side desks continued to flag some pretty heavy retail buying underpinning that broader animal spirits dynamic. Initial claims a bit higher than expected, while continuing claims also ticked a bit higher as well. Preliminary Q4 productivity a bit higher than expected, though unit labor cost growth below expectations. Looking ahead, non-farm payrolls and Michigan consumer sentiment cap off the week on Friday. Non-farm payrolls expected to increase 170,000 in January, following an outsized 256,000 gain in December. The unemployment rate seem unchanged at 4.1%, while the average hourly earnings expected to increase to 30 basis points month over month. Looks like we already have a live call, this one from Tim in San Jose, asking a question about Brazil. What's on your mind?
Yes, Luke. Bill, I've been invested in since the Olympics many years ago, and I kept thinking it's going to be an emerging market. But it has not emerged. It's been kind of dead money, actually. So I'm curious what your thought is in a country that has a great deal of natural resources, particularly oil. But is there a near-term pop to for Brazil? I have EWZ and EWZF, which is their large stock, large cap stocks, and a bucket of their mid-sized stocks.
Okay, and can I ask, what's your exposure level here? What percentage of your total portfolio is this?
Yeah, I'm sorry you asked that. 10 to 20%.
Whew, that is a lot. All right, let's dive into that. So you are correct in that Brazil is a pretty resource-rich country, right? They have a lot of oil, they have a lot of agricultural and minerals, and because of that, they're a pretty big player on the global commodity space. Another thing they have going for them is they have a pretty large population and it's pretty young, right? And so that's driven demand for financial services, technology, infrastructure development, kind of against the grain of what we're seeing, and we'll talk about a little bit later, in Europe in terms of their population, what that means for their future development. But there's also a downside, right? There's currency volatility, there's risk, there's government policy shifts that can impact investment returns, and there's really not a lot of stability there, right? We had a situation in Brazil where the previous president had tried to overthrow an election and the Supreme Court in Brazil had to step in. And so there's a lot of political dysfunction there. And it's hard to see positive investment returns in a country that has a lot of political dysfunction. And especially at a time where emerging markets and international markets have been trailing the U.S. markets, right? You have generally seen higher expected returns over longer periods of time from emerging markets because you take on additional risk. And we haven't really seen that. Now, year to date, EWZ is up 12.97%, but on the trailing 1 year, it's down 15.93%. And so what I would say to you is I don't think there's an issue having emerging markets exposure. I think that when you invest in an emerging markets broad ETF, the one problem is it's highly concentrated in China. And Chinese demand hasn't picked up, and the Chinese market has a lot of risk right now. And so when you pick individually these countries, I think that may be a better way to go about it. Now, I don't see any catalysts on the near to midterm that really would expect me to believe that Brazil is going to really pop out and break out here. But I do think if you're considering investing in emerging markets for the long term, I don't see a problem having a smaller allocation to Brazil. I'm talking about 5%, 5 to 10% most. And so I think 20 is a lot. I think you probably also know that 20 is a lot. But in the near term, to answer your question, I don't see any catalyst that's really going to make Brazil pop out. Longer term, though, they have a lot of good demographics. Younger population, bigger population, and a lot of good minerals. And so if it were me, I would reduce my allocation to Brazil. But I think longer term, it's still a good market to be invested in. Thanks for the call. Now we're moving into a break, and still to come, my main focus point. More answers to your questions. And of course, we love them when they're live. Follow Tim's example. Give me a call at 888-99-CHART. At some point, in just about everyone's life, there comes a time when you realize that having a trust and a will is very important for you and, yes, also for your family. But creating a trust and a will has long been a very slow and time-consuming process. Until now. Trust and Will has already helped hundreds of thousands of families put together their estate plans. You see, Trust and Will makes creating your will easy and affordable. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish. Reduce stress and save time for loved ones by having all your documents in one place and with bank-level encryption. I've been through this exercise, and I'll tell you that Trust and Will makes creating your will almost effortless. And if you have questions, live customer support is available by phone, chat, and email. Here's an important point. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So, uncomplicate the process with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/invest and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/invest.
Invest Talk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Luke Guerrero is here now. 888-99-CHART.
Now, I want to revise my last answer because I thought about it in my head and it didn't come out correctly. And what I meant to say was, having a 5% allocation to Brazil and a 10 to 20% allocation to emerging markets in general, not a 10% allocation to Brazil. So I hope that helps you out, Tim. Now let's dive right into our main focus point today. And that's because choosing a financial advisor, it's a pretty important decision. And it can significantly impact your financial future. Now, to ensure you find the correct advisor, I want to go over 10 essential questions, not the only questions, but 10 essential questions you should ask all of them during the interview process. And first and foremost, this is number one for a reason. Are you a fiduciary? A fiduciary is legally obligated to act in your best interest, ensuring they recommend investments that not only best suit your needs, or rather not ones that only suit your needs, but best suit your needs, rather than ones that simply earn them a commission. Non-fiduciary advisors only need to provide suitable recommendations, which may not always be the best option for you. Number two, and you should really ask this in any relationship, is how do you get paid? Advisors can be compensated in various ways, including commission-based or fee-based, or like us, fee-only models. Fee-only advisors charge a flat fee, which is generally a percentage of assets under management, minimizing conflicts of interest, and ensuring that they are truly fee-only is important because fee-based advisors can still receive commissions for selling financial products. So what you want to know is, are you fee-only? Number three, what are my all-in costs? Because it can be more than just those fees. You may incur investment-related expenses, such as fund management fees and trading commissions. These hidden costs can erode your savings over time, so it's essential to get a clear breakdown of all of the expenses. Another one is, what are your qualifications? Financial professionals have various certifications. CFP, Certified Financial Planner. CFA, I'm a CFA charter holder. And so if you hear that this is the case, well, you want to verify those credentials through FINRA's professional designations database and check their disciplinary history using the SEC's Investment Advisor Public Disclosure Database, or Form ADV. Question number five is, how will our relationship work? This is something that we impress upon our clients because we don't know how often you want to talk. For our clients, we're available as often as you'd like. Some clients like to talk to us once a year. Some like to talk to us once a week. But determining how often you'll meet with the advisor, whether they're available for phone calls and emails outside of scheduled appointments, and how they will communicate important updates regarding your portfolio is essential. Number six, what is your investment philosophy? Understanding what their investment philosophy is critical because it needs to align with yours. Are they focused on long-term investing? Are they focused on short-term investing, active trading, passive index investing? It's critical that their philosophy can facilitate you achieving your financial goals within the parameters of your risk tolerance. Number seven, what asset allocation will you use? Diversification is key to managing risk, so ask about how they plan to allocate your assets across different asset classes, such as domestic stocks, international stocks, small cap, large cap companies, bonds. A well-diversified portfolio can help you mitigate risk and improve your returns over time. Number eight, what investment benchmarks do you use? This is an interesting one because I think too often people don't really benchmark properly. A good advisor should compare your portfolio's performance to relevant benchmarks. Be cautious of those who use inappropriate comparisons. If you're looking at a globally diversified portfolio, why would you be benchmarking it to the S&P 500, which only tracks U.S. large cap stocks? Number nine, who is your custodian? We use Schwab. Your advisor should use an independent custodian, such as a brokerage firm, to hold your investments. What does that do? Well, it adds an extra layer of security and transparency, allowing you to verify your account balances and transactions independently. And lastly, number 10, what tax impact will I face if I invest with you? Taxes, no one likes to pay. And that's because they can significantly impact your investment returns. Ask how the advisor considers tax efficiency, tax management in their strategy, and whether they tax loss harvest or other strategies to minimize your tax burden. Again, I want to reiterate, these are not the only questions you should be asking your financial advisor, but this is a good starting point. These are some of the most critical questions. And by asking these questions, you'll gain a clearer understanding of whether an advisor is the right fit for your financial needs, whether they are transparent enough, whether they align with your goals, and whether they really have your best interests at heart. On the next Invest Talk, we are going to look into this topic: what to consider before you invest in alternatives. We'll go over what alternatives are. We'll go over how you might invest in them and some of the risks. For diversification and potential higher returns, a new economic paradigm points to the advantages of adding alternatives to investments in your portfolio. That's tomorrow. But for now, I'm Lou Guerrero and ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Justin or Luke? You're the best person to ask it.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's face it, InvestTalk listeners. Life can be unpredictable, but securing your family's financial future doesn't have to be. That's where Fabric by Gerber Life comes in. Fabric was designed for busy parents like you, and it's more than life insurance. Free digital wills, access to investment accounts to invest for your kids' future, and more. And you can manage it all right from your phone. Fabric offers modern, flexible term life insurance designed to fit your lifestyle. Whether you're planning for the future or just want a little extra peace of mind, Fabric makes protecting what matters most simple and stress-free. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right from your couch, all online and on your schedule. You could be covered in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. Even if you have life insurance through your employer, it may not offer enough protection for your family, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. Fabric has flexible, high-quality policies that fit your family and your budget, like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Fabric has partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/investtalk. That's meetfabric.com/investtalk. meetfabric.com/investtalk. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
InvestTalk, now with more than 60 million downloads. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Will from San Diego, who has a question about Dollar General. Do you own it, or are you looking to buy it?
I'm looking to buy it. It's been in a downtrend, so I think maybe it's a good buy at this time, so I wanted your input on it.
Okay. Well, we do get questions about Dollar General a lot. I think anytime a well-known name has a drawdown like this, it's down 45% in the past year. People call in because they're interested to know, well, is this a value trap or is this something that I should be invested in? And so Dollar General is one of those discount stores, discount merchandisers with food, snacks, beauty, clothing, supplies. It's a $16 billion company with a lot of debt, $17 billion in debt. So that's thing number one that I do not like. Now, it does pay a dividend, about 3.24%. But you'll notice if you look at the past 5 years, it's almost triple what it was in the early 2020s. It's almost double what it was in 2023. And so that is a signal that, well, the price has fallen pretty significantly in a short period of time. Still has a lot of short interest out there, 4.62% short interest to be specific. And one of the reasons why it started to sell off is because what you saw last year was asymmetric effects of inflation. You had higher income earners that were far less affected than lower income earners. And so lower income earners tend to be the bulk of the business for Dollar General. Now, you see right here that their revenue growth has really fallen off from 2023 to 2024. They only had about $1 billion in new revenue, actually less than $1 billion in new revenue, even though in the longer term period, their sales have grown by 8.6% on an annualized basis. You see, it's only supposed to grow about $900 million in 2025. And in that time, margins, which are already small because they're a retailer, right, are still compressing, down from a high of 7% to 3.1%. And so I'm going to give you the short answer here, which is I still think this thing has more room to run to the downside. A lot of the reasons why companies like Dollar General can sell things cheaply is because they buy cheap goods. And where does one typically buy cheap goods? They import them. And what is this administration seemingly against? The importation of cheap goods. This company could really be hit by the de minimis exemption, or rather it being taken away. We spoke about that yesterday. And so what you could see over the next year or so is costs rising and straining consumers that already have diminishing spending power. And so for Dollar General, DG, gonna have to pass for now. Thanks for the call. Let's keep things moving and give you two in a row. This question came in earlier from Texas.
Hey guys, it's Steven in Texas. had a question. I'm doing a home remodel, and I cashed out some, or I sold some equities that I had, roughly $300,000. I didn't want to play games with that money because I needed to have it, but now it's just sitting in my account, not making anything, kind of starting to get FOMO. Is there anything I can put it in that's pretty safe and liquid that I would at least earn a little bit of interest while I don't need it the next 2-3 months? Or am I better off just putting it in my bank account and letting it sit until I need to pay the contractor? Just curious. I know there's like checking accounts and stuff, but I still have it in my my brokerage account. Appreciate your time. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, so if you wanted to pull it out of your brokerage account, you could pop it into a high yield savings account. But you know what? It's already in your brokerage account. And so one way to earn interest in a relatively safe manner, remember, there is not ever an investment that has zero risk, but the risk is far lower than bonds or equities, is money market funds or ETFs that invest in short-term treasuries. Vanguard has some really good low-cost money market funds in the realm of 9 basis points, 8-9 basis points, probably yielding around 4.2% on an annualized basis right now. So you won't earn 4.2% over that time period, but you will earn 0.25% roughly. And so that's a good place that is relatively, again, relatively safe to put your money. I think that would probably be a good idea if you want to keep it in your brokerage account for the next couple months. Thanks for the call. Now, I've already been talking about some emerging markets today. We had a call from our friend Tim earlier who had a question about Brazil. And one of the countries that stands to potentially benefit from increased tensions with China is India. But India's latest budget, aimed to stimulate growth and support the middle class through tax cuts, didn't really affect the deeper structural challenges that remained. Prime Minister Narendra Modi, facing economic frustration that contributed to his party's electoral losses, have been trying to find ways to adjust the economic pain affecting the poor and middle class. However, Finance Minister's budget ultimately favored the urban middle class, granting tax cuts worth around $12 billion annually, exempting millions of relatively high earners from income taxes. And so why this is important is because India's economy has slowed pretty significantly. Growth has fallen to 5.4% from 8.1% in 2023. The government's own economic survey forecasts growth of 6.3 to 6.8% for the coming year, well below the 8% needed to meet India's long-term goal of becoming a developing nation, or rather a developed nation, by 2047. Now, part of the slowdown was expected, right? A pandemic-era savings depletion has occurred. It, at one point, fueled this temporary surge in spending. But tighter credit conditions and delayed government expenditures due to last year's elections really started to further constrain growth. And so in response, what you've seen is a shift towards stimulative measures. The Reserve Bank of India recently announced liquidity-boosting steps, including repo auctions and bond purchases, and has eased intervention in currency markets. The rupee has weakened to record lows against the dollar, which could improve export competitiveness and increase the value of remittances from India's global workforce. In simple terms, if you are looking to find an area to invest in manufacturing that isn't as expensive as the United States but is cheaper than China, maybe India is the way to go. But still, despite these short-term measures, India faces some pretty deep structural challenges. The country has struggled to expand its manufacturing sector, which has fallen to just 13% of GDP, which is in fact the lowest it's been since 1967. Private investment remains weak. And while the official unemployment rate is low at 3.2%, many workers remain trapped in informal, low-paying jobs. And so traditionally, think China, think South Korea, the path to industrialization has been low-cost manufacturing that gradually moves up the supply chain. But in a new era of protectionism, that becomes increasingly difficult. And so recognizing this, how are they developing their industries? Well, tariffs is one of them. A symbolic reduction in duties on Harley-Davidson, a long-standing demand by Donald Trump, is another that maybe encourages U.S. investment in India. But it's important to note that history can be a lesson towards the future. The government's past efforts to force entire supply chains to relocate to India largely failed. And so maybe moving forward, a more pragmatic approach. And so if you're thinking of investing in India because you think, well, China is on a downtrend in terms of its trade with the U.S., keep in mind these structural issues. Because meaningful progress will require broader regulatory reform, something the government appears reluctant to tackle in the face of all this political uncertainty. Now, we've answered a lot of voicemails. We've answered a couple live calls, but we have yet to dip into the InvestTalk YouTube question bank. This one coming in from Randy23Ramos32. And it's on PAX. It says, would love to hear your thoughts on Patria PAX is the ticker. Looking for dividend international stocks with upside. It's been a while since we've talked about an international stock. So as I pull this up in excitement, let's take a look. Alrighty. So PAX is a private market investment firm and it focuses on Latin America. So what they do is they offer investment management services, including private equity, infrastructure, real estate, and credit services throughout Latin America. It's headquartered in the Cayman Islands. Now, over the past 3 months, stock's been down about 5% over the past 3 months, about 16% over the past 52 weeks. Now, in terms of dollar value, it's a $1.8 billion market cap company. It's got very little debt, about $194 million in debt. And its cash flow is steadily improving over the past couple years since its IPO in January of 2021. A good trend, a good solid trend. But what about its profitability? Well, typically you see some pretty large margins within the asset management industry. I'm talking 30, 40, 50% net margin. And that's what you're seeing here too. You see about 54% was the high back in 2020, and that's dipped a lot down to 35, but it's projected to grow again to 54% in 2024, earnings set to report only in a couple days, and then grow again to 61% the next year. From a relative valuation perspective, forward-looking price to earnings 8.3, pretty cheap. Price to book 3.5, price to sales 5.7. Now, it pays a really high dividend, a shockingly high dividend, 7.4% dividend yield, which isn't too far above what it paid in 2023, which was 6.2%. But it looks like, according to this data, it didn't pay any dividend in 2024. So this certainly is not a dividend set in stone. In fact, the payout ratio is 123. And so with short interest being 6%, it's clear to me they're capitalizing by issuing shares. Looks like they've issued another 20 million shares since 2021. And so I also am seeing some earnings downgrades. I think this is an interesting company, right? They are trying to essentially expand their real estate footprint in Latin America, which is a developing region. But we just talked about a new era of protectionism that may disproportionately affect growth in some of the closest areas geographically to us, like Latin America. And so given a lot of uncertainty in these countries, given that margins have really slipped, though they are set to grow again, I think that you shouldn't look at this as a company that, ooh, they have a great dividend, I'm going to buy it, because clearly that dividend is not set in stone. And so if you're looking for international exposure in Latin America, I think those are one of the areas where it is best to maybe stay away from a business development company and more look to a broader ETF. Thanks for watching. Let's tackle another caller question now.
Hi, it's Raj from New York. Just had a question about Vertu versus CRDO, Credo. Seems like they both are in the infrastructure for data centers. So wanted to see which one is better. Vertu had a pool recently. CRD also had it. But in terms of profit margin, both of them are doing well. The earnings are coming out. Wanted to ask you about that. One more thing is CRDO. they're based in Cayman Island, so not sure if there's any red flags to that or not. So please let us know. Thank you.
Okay, let's take a look at Vertiv Holdings, and we will also take a look at CRDO, which is not pulling up here. Credo Technology Group. And so both of these companies are involved in the data infrastructure space. Vertiv, we get questions on a lot. They manufacture and service power, cool, deploy, secure, and maintain electronics that process, store, and transmit data. That is a fancy way of saying really involved in data centers. And with both of these companies, you can see they performed pretty similarly in the past year or so. Past 52 weeks, Credo is up 286.6%, 79% in the past 3 months, 18.49% year to date. Vertiv, up 102% in the past 52 weeks, up 5.24% year to date. Both of these are similarly sized companies. They're in the mid-cap space, though. Vertiv is a little bit larger at $48 billion. Credo is at $16 billion. And margins are different here. Credo just started making money in terms of quarterly revenue. They have not posted a full year of being profitable, but they are headed in the right direction. Vertiv, on the other hand, has a history of profitability. They lost money in 2020, but ever since then, they have made money and their margins have expanded alongside that. They both have pretty solid revenue growth. Credo, obviously, a lot bigger given its price performance over the past year and the fact that it is doing as so many companies do, moving to profitability for the first time, or rather the first time in 5 years. So then it really comes down to if you're getting the similar exposure from a secular thematic perspective, which one's cheaper? And I always am of the opinion that you want to go for the more consistent business, which Vertiv certainly is. It's trading at 32.6 times forward-looking earnings, which is pretty expensive, 24.6 times price to book, 36 times price to cash flow, 6.1 times sales. Credo's trading at 89 times price to earnings, 54 times price to sales, and all having never made money before. Frankly, if I have to choose between the two of these, I think it's a pretty easy call. I'm going to go with the business that has been around longer. I'm going to go with the business that has been profitable longer. I'm going to go with the business that has more free cash flow, growing free cash flow, and has a longer history of being profitable. And because of that, if I had to choose, I would go with Vertiv. Thanks for the call. This is InvestTalk. I'm Luke Guerrero. We have one goal here: to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after this break, our final break, so get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
Luke Guerrero is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I wanted to pick your brain about Apple. What did you think about their earnings call? Is this a good time to add to my position?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Have you ever noticed that you can tell a lot about a person just by the kind of suit they wear? It's true. The best way to send the right message is with the perfect suit from Indochino. My experience has taught me that Indochino clothing has the look, feel, and fit I appreciate and have always wanted. Whether you are dressing for a special occasion or for office wear, Indochino offers custom suits at unbeatable prices. And if you're planning your big day, make it even more special with custom groom and groomsman looks from Indochino. Customize every detail to your measurements and your personal taste, including the fabric, lapel shape, buttons, and more, all at a fraction of what other companies charge. You can even choose to visit a showroom and work one-on-one with an expert style guide to get precisely measured. Create your next headlining look with a custom suit from Indochino. Visit Indochino.com and use code INVEST to get 20% off any purchase of $499 or more. That's 20% off at INDOCHINO.com. Promo code INVEST.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. How they get there and when they get there, that depends on many variables. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Given that this is that was our last break, we have time for one more question. So we're going to go to the InvestTalk YouTube channel question bank and answer this question from our friend Jim Leahy. It's on ticker LDOS, and it says, looking at buying LDOS, it's at a five-year low price to earnings. So LDOS is Leidos Holdings, Inc. It is a leading science and technology company specializing in solutions for defense, intelligence, civil, and health markets. They do cybersecurity, data analytics, enterprise IT modernization, operations, logistics, and sensor development. They have a lot of government contracts, the intelligence community, the DOD, the FAA, as well as civilian, state, and local agencies. That's an $18.8 billion market cap company. They've got about $5.1 billion in debt, so debt doesn't seem to be much of a concern there. They bought back shares in the past 5 years, down from $140 million to $132 million, something we do like to see. They pay a dividend, about 1.1%, which has been pretty consistent over the past 5 years. Their payout ratio is pretty high, 101, so that is certainly striking and alarming in terms of the safety of their dividend. Cash flow, although it was flat from 2021 to 2023, started to improve again headed into 2024, growing from operating cash flow of $800 million to $1.4 billion in 1 year. Let's look at their profitability. Well, their margins are expanding a little bit, or rather set to expand. They reached a peak in 2019 over the past 5 years. It's a five-year local peak of 6% net margin, since contracted to 1.3% in 2023. Earnings are set to come out pretty soon, and so that margin's projected to be 7.6% this year, 7.7% next year. What about revenue? Well, top-line revenue's grown at 8.7% on an annualized basis over the past 5 years. But what we've seen in terms of something that I imagine would have high demand, would be a good growth area, hasn't really manifested itself in stock returns. In spite of, in December, securing a $1 billion contract to provide services for foreign militaries. Despite, in 2025, January 2025, being awarded a checkpoint sustainment contract with the TSA valued at $2.6 billion. In spite of another strategic partnership with Nauticus Robotics to move into the subsea technology space. In spite of all that, it's down 27% over the past 3 months. It's down 2.25% year to date. And so I have a couple things in mind here. One is, I like the theme. As it seems to be that the US is taking a little bit of a step back, maybe in terms of defense. What that means is allies who for a while have not really invested in their militaries need to start spending money. And so aerospace and defense names like Leidos thematically do stand to benefit there. But with this company specifically, I have two reasons why right now is not a good time to buy. Reason number one, generally, I think you should avoid trading in stocks within 2 weeks of and after 2 weeks of earnings. Why? Well, empirically speaking, we know that it can be highly volatile, directionless trading. And so making good returns and making wise investments over that time period is hard, even for professional investors. The other part of this for me is that they reached a high of about $200 in the middle of November of last year, and it's fallen pretty precipitously. You can see it here in its strength relative to the S&P 500, but I can see it here on my other screen, and it's fallen below its support level of 142, down to 140, and so it's looking for some new support here. So from a momentum perspective, it also doesn't look great. I think the company can do well, and so I would keep it on my watch list for now. I'm Luke Guerrero, and this completes another InvestTalk program. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can get yours anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify, so please be sure to leave us a rate and review on iTunes. Remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics and calculate your investor risk number. Just go to investtalk.com and click the portfolio review button, where we can also help you optimize the potential of your 401k and build a full financial and wealth plan. It all starts at investtalk.com. Just click portfolio review. It is a free and confidential service. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.